Thank you very much, worship team. Thank you very much, Paul. You've enabled the Wednesday night to be very special for us. So has the Awana, and it's great to be working together for Wednesday nights. So I'm picking up from a message a month ago, and I'd like you to look at Matthew 28, and then I'm going to look specifically at the word disciple tonight. So you got this idea, we're talking about discipleship. That's our theme. And we started this first month focusing on discipleship with a kind of a global focus. And you just hurt for the world's needs for the gospel. And you realize how precious it is to have the knowledge of Jesus Christ and his word. But all across the world, there's so many lost people that need to know the Lord. But this next month, we're going to focus on discipleship beginning at home. And I always like to say, where's the hardest place in the world to be a disciple, and where's the hardest place in the world to make disciples? It's not in Beijing, it's at home, where home is the hardest place because we have to live it out every day consistently. We got to model it, work at it all the time. So we're going to focus our month from Mother's Day through Father's Day on discipleship beginning at home. So let's look at Matthew chapter 28, and I'm going to just finish up that passage and focus in on this word disciple for a moment. So Matthew chapter 28, we started with this. The 11 disciples went to Galilee to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. They were obedient, and when they saw him, they worshiped him. So what did we learn on Sunday? What's the first quality of discipleship? Worship, exalting him. Jesus said, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. So worship is the beginning point. It's really the ending point. I remember when Dr. Greg Rowe did his presentation, and he paused just for a moment, and he said, the most important thing in discipleship is worship. Most important is worship. When we have our why answered, remember Mike Sikosio said, if we answer the why question, why are we here? Why do we exist? What is it for? We get everything else in line. So worship. Then he goes on to say, all authority in heaven and earth. And he has the authority, and we are sent out with a commission based on the authority of Jesus Christ. He sends us. And then we looked at, I think we got to this go, and that was also mentioned. It's in the English language, it's an imperative, but in the Greek language, it's a participle. What does that mean? The imperative, the command word is make disciples. That's the key word in this passage. And there are three participles that support that word. And the first is go. So let me read it this way. As you are going, make disciples. Then it says, by baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and by teaching them to observe everything I commanded you. See what the key word is? Make disciples. The command that we're given is to make disciples. How do you make disciples? Well, you have to go. You have to be going. And I mentioned on Sunday that sometimes we get in the holy huddle and forget that God wants us everywhere we go, every person we meet, is a person for whom we are praying and looking for an opportunity to show Christ and to tell about Christ. So as you're going, some people say, well, have you ever thought, when I get to the destination, then I'll start to do what I'm supposed to do? Have you ever felt that way? You know, I'm kind of on the process, I'm getting there, but when I get there, then I'll start doing what I'm supposed to do. And you think about that. Remember Paul and Barnabas, at the church at Antioch, do you think they were waiting till the Lord told them to go on a mission trip to start making disciples? No, they were making disciples right there in Antioch, and then he just moved their location. So wherever God has us, wherever God has us is where we are to make disciples on the way. But then let's look at that word disciple for a moment. Then I'm going to jump into that biblical word disciple for a moment. So let's look at the biblical word for disciple. The Greek word is mathetes. Do I have it down there? Yeah, it's there in the green. Disciple means learning or learner. Mathetes means learning or disciple. You might also put the word follower, and the word is used almost exclusively of followers of Jesus, the disciples of Jesus in the New Testament. But there were also disciples of John. As we said on Sunday, Andrew was a disciple of John before he becomes a disciple of Jesus. So this is a follower of Jesus, a follower of Jesus. Now let's look at what the Bible says about the followers of Jesus in the meaning. And you'll find that in your notes as well. What is a follower of Jesus? Under disciples, first, they're chosen by Jesus. They're chosen by Jesus. Now, I'm not going to get into a theological debate on the question of predestination here, or what. I'm just going to tell you that our walk with God begins with Him reaching to us and us responding to Him. The walk with God begins with Him inviting us. So Jesus went and chose His disciples. He chose His apostles. He invited them to follow Him. That was very different from that day. In Jesus' day, when you wanted to follow a rabbi, you went to find the rabbi. Jesus, the rabbi, went and found His disciples. And this example we see is in Matthew chapter 4 and also Mark chapter 1. Jesus is walking along the Sea of Galilee and He says, Peter and Andrew, follow Me. Then James and John, follow Me. And then I always go, this is just a little family thing here. I go, they left their father with the boat. Didn't I say discipleship begins at home? Well, Mark's gospel adds one small detail. They left their father with the servants to keep fishing, and they went and followed Jesus. So they didn't, Dad was taken care of. I was a little concerned for Dad. Mark's gospel is the shortest gospel, but it gives more detail on the stories or the events that it records. So we find out that they left the dad with the servants who helped him to continue to fish. So a disciple is one who hears God call. All of us who are followers of Christ have heard Jesus call us. We've heard Him call. And we've heard the gospel, and then one day, somehow, in some moment, you felt a tug. God was speaking to you. God was inviting you to follow Him. I can remember it clear as a bell. I heard the message, Jesus died for the sins of the world, and Paul just mentioned, for my sins, and all of a sudden I felt, my sins, He died for my sins. It impacted me, and I became a follower of Jesus Christ. We all have heard that call who are followers of Jesus Christ. It began with Him, His call, and us responding to His call. So the disciples were chosen, invited to call. Secondly, it's a lifelong journey. It's a lifelong journey. Discipleship begins with a response to the call, but it's a lifelong process of becoming more like Christ. He says, follow Me, and I will make you. Don't you wish that was right away? I mean, instantaneous. We are transformed, we emphasize experiences, and I love the experiences, but it's a day-by-day thing, right? It's a walk. John, in his first epistle, calls it a walk. Walk in the light as I am in the light. It's a walk. It's a day-by-day. Paul calls it yielding to the Holy Spirit, day by day. It's moment by moment. It's not a one-time, and it's not until we're in heaven. Because 1 John 3 says, when we see Him, we'll be like Him. That's when we see Him, we'll become like Him. So this lifelong journey, it's as followers of Jesus, it's a growth and transforming process, preparing us for eternity with Him. Every day, walking with Him. And God brings people into our lives to help us in that process, the others who help disciple us. And when I focus on the family, when I focus on discipleship beginning at home, I believe marriage is one of God's gifts of discipleship, helping us become more like Christ. I don't know if I'll say this on Sunday morning, so I'll say it tonight. If you want to have more time to serve Christ, stay single. If you want to become more like Christ, get married. You got it? Okay. Because God uses that. Now, marriage is tough, isn't it? It's under tremendous stress in our culture, in our world, because it is tough. But that's one of the means God uses. So we'll look at that on Sunday. What did Jesus' disciples look like? What did he want us to do? He wanted us to become more like him. And there's one chapter that seems to elevate that focus on what that disciple looks like. And I don't know if we would overstate this, but John chapter 13 seems to give us kind of a description of what this disciples to look like. Because remember, Matthew said, as you are going, make disciples by baptizing and by teaching them to observe everything I've commanded you. So teaching to observe. So I probably ought to focus on the baptism for one point. I didn't grow up in a Baptist setting, so I don't believe in believer's baptism because I'm a Baptist. I believe in believer's baptism because as I was reading through the Bible, I noticed this pattern. Believe and be baptized. Believe and be baptized. So I became persuaded that baptism is not something that it's an outward expression of our commitment to Christ, our following him. He calls us to follow him. We respond, and one of the ways we declare that, express that, is through believer's baptism. We are confessing before others what Christ has done for us. So if the discipleship process is as you are going, I would say the baptism refers to leading people to a confession of Jesus Christ. Romans 10, 9 and 10. If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, I was asking for help. You shall be saved. If you confess, a public confession of our faith is through believer's baptism. So as you're going, lead people to a confession of faith in Jesus Christ and then teach them to observe everything I've commanded you. Teach them to observe. So here's what this discipleship process is: not simply learning what God says, but learning to do what God says. Right? The wise man is the one who built his house on the rock. Who's the wise man? He who hears his word and does it. So he's saying a disciple is one who confesses Christ and then walks out in obedience to Christ. I feel like there's an advantage we've had a generation ago that in moving and following Christ, there was a cultural tide that generally supported that direction. I'm talking about when I grew up. There was a general support of a following of at least Christian principles. I remember in my neighborhood growing up, there weren't many Christians, but you were supported in Christian things. Now I could talk about the tide going the other direction, but as a culture, the culture today for our young people is going dramatically against following Christ. It's a direct assault in pushing backward. You're going upstream. You're really working hard upstream, and it's just a hard thing to watch young people get caught up in that push downstream that's so confusing for them in every aspect of life. I've spent 20 years teaching freshman level worldview courses, philosophy, ethics, all that kind of stuff. In the last 5 years, I've seen such a radical transformation of worldview of Christian young people influenced by a culture going the other direction. It's radical. You know, there's studies done of cultures. One culture is Quebec. I've been able to teach at Seminaire Baptiste Evangelique de Quebec. And Quebec was one of these provinces that turned from a religious worldview, it wasn't evangelical, but a religious worldview, and in one generation was wholly secular. One generation. It went from a nation where people were married and had children, and that sounds profound, to a culture with no marriage and a population decline. It was one of the fastest growing. Now you say, well, what difference? Well, the whole culture shifted. One generation shifted. Now, God's still at work. When I have gone to Montreal, there's a group, usually like 20 French Canadian young men pastoring churches all across Quebec. And I go, my goodness, God hasn't stopped. You know, I'm sounding negative. God hasn't stopped yet. These young men are passionate about starting churches across Quebec. And I go, God has a plan, and God is at work. So I don't want to be, but I the battle to be a follower of Christ needs the power of the Word of God, the persuasion of the Spirit of God, and a transformation of a heart. It's not going to be a simple road to travel. That's why we believe so much in investing in our children and our young people and our families here, and why family night was meant. Jesus said, teaching them to observe all I've commanded. What were those commands in John 13? He gets down and he starts washing the disciples' feet. And what does he say? What does he tell the disciples to do? Yeah, the lowest job in the household was washing feet. He says, if the Lord can wash your feet, you can go and wash feet. Isn't that powerful? Recently saw a film of a young lady who, maybe you've seen this, who started an orphanage in Vietnam. And I thought, my goodness, these poor children around the world. And she was caring for the least. And you think about how significant it is to serve the least. And then the second thing he says, a new commandment I've given you. What's the new commandment? Love one another as I have loved you. If you were to say what Jesus' commands are for his disciples, is to serve and to love in the name of Jesus. Now, what that looks like in everybody, we all know. What does it look like? What does it look like in each of our lives to demonstrate that? And I think about that. Who has God called us, each one of us, to love and to serve in the name of Jesus? So if I looked at teach them to obey, I would say that John 13 captures that with a life of service and a life of love. And the last aspect mentioned in the biblical picture of discipleship is to go out and proclaim. Matthew's gospel says make disciples. Mark's gospel says go into all the world and preach the gospel. Luke's gospel says you are to go out and declare this message of repentance and the forgiveness of sins. John's gospel says, as I'm sent, I'm sending you. All these sending us out stuff, you know, all this, we are to go. We're supposed to go. We're supposed to tell others. So he goes out. But this is what was so powerful. Not only are we to proclaim the kingdom of God and the gospel of Jesus Christ, Matthew's gospel ends, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Now, I just love this word with. When Jesus called his apostles, he called them that they might be what? With him. That's it. With him. That was how he made disciples. Just hang around with me. Hang around with me. Watch what I do, see how I do it, find out how I'm empowered to do it, and then I'm going to send you. I'm going to go with you and you do it. Then I'm going to send you out to do it, and then I'm going to find out how you do it. And then it just, that it was just, but that little word with. So it was Dr. David Nelms who said, discipleship is intentional. Do you remember the second word was? Relational. Relational. You know, this, I was about to tell a story at the end of Sunday's message, and I completely forgot it. And so let me tell it tonight. I was a pastor on Long Island, a village of Syosset at Long Island, for about 10 years. And when you go 10 years in a church on Long Island, it was, I told you about a baptism on Sunday of a Jewish person. We had baptism of Buddhists. It was very cross-cultural. It was not a, it wasn't a Christian area at all. And so, but one thing, at the end of those, that period of time, that decade of being a pastor on Long Island, and I said, you'll never go any place in the United States needier than that town. I know there are, but you felt it. You felt it in that town. It was a very unique, very special area. At the end of that, if you ask me, what was the most significant ministry of that decade? And you go, you think, oh man, all the things you think about. We had the privilege of starting a Chinese or an Asian congregation. I had an associate pastor named Dr. Y.C. Chan, and we were able to see Koreans and Japanese. Interesting, Japanese, very unusual to see Japanese Christians. So we reached that Asian culture. That was really fascinating, very interesting, especially as I teach McKeel students now. I love talking to the Chinese students and talking to them about Asia and different cultures from that experience. But I would say, if you said, what was the most important or most significant thing, it would be Rob Sundholm. Now, what country do you think his family came from? Sweden, right? Sundholm? Rob Sundholm. Rob Sundholm decided that God called him to be a pastor to a really tough section of Brooklyn. Brooklyn's changed since, in many ways, since that time. His first day on the job, someone was shot and killed on the front steps of his church. So it was a tough neighborhood. And Rob Sundholm decided to go to seminary and prepare to be a pastor for the inner city. Now, Rob Sundholm was a suburban boy. He marries a girl from Lancaster, Pennsylvania. And they go to a seminary called Seminary of the East, and they needed a mentor. That's what the seminary required. That it was part of the beginning of the seminary. So an elder and I just dedicated years to just spend time with Rob Sundholm. And so Rob, he went through seminary. We traveled together. We'd go to the city together. And at the end, God called him to pastor this little Grace Baptist Church in Brooklyn. Well, I got a letter the other day. Rob has finished 25 years as the pastor of this inner city church. It now has 5 different congregations in this little church building of the international flavor of Brooklyn. And I'd say, but just him, you know, that's what stands out. And it was discipleship. It was just investing in one guy that kind of captures the heart and says God was at work, and he's still at work in Brooklyn because of a young man who said, I'm called to do that inner city work. So being with Rob was the discipleship process. And then I'd say Jesus being with us is how we grow as disciples as well. But I want to make one more emphasis of that last phrase. It says, and I am with you always. The word it says, I am, is a word. But when you add the pronoun in front of it, and you know what the Greek pronoun for I is? Ego. Ego. Get it? Ego. Ego, M-E. I am. When Jesus adds that personal pronoun what he says? He's saying this, I myself am with you. You notice what he said? I myself, I'm with you. I myself, I am with you. Meaning, we're not alone. Jesus says he is never going to leave us or forsake us. Isn't that encouraging on this journey? I myself, Jesus, is with us. And by his Spirit, the Spirit of Christ indwells us and empowers us to be his disciples and to make disciples. Well, we will pick up on Sunday on the theme of discipleship beginning at home. I'm going to close this section in prayer. I know different people have different responsibilities. As you know, this began baseball season, right? We're seeing lots of baseball activity, a little competition for Wednesday night. But I'm going to close in prayer, release you, but I'm going to invite those that can stay. On the back side of your notes that you have, we're going to circle up and have two circles of prayer. What I'd like to do, Hal, if we could turn these around and have a circle here. And Sandra and Kent, could we have a circle of prayer there? So I'm going to close in prayer, release those that need to go, and then we'll have two circles of prayer tonight. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much that you are with us. You called us. We heard your call in our own hearts and lives to offer us the forgiveness of sins. And you have called us to follow you and to be changed and then to become fishers of men. Lord, I pray for each one here, each family represented here, for the children that are meeting tonight, the young adults, the students that are ministering tonight. Lord, we need you. We cannot travel this journey alone. It's a lifelong journey of dependence upon you every day. Lord, I pray for those that are hurting today, those that are suffering, and those that are traveling, and your blessing on them as well. We pray in Jesus' name, amen.